The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
My name is Andrea Fella, and Gil this morning is teaching a retreat at Spirit Rock. I'm not sure why he's listed as teaching today. It's been planned for a long time that he wouldn't be here, but just for those of you who didn't know that and are slightly concerned, he is fine. He's teaching a retreat at Spirit Rock. So this morning, I'd like to speak about the topic of working with fear, anxiety, worry, various flavors of fear. And I'd like to speak about this through a particular lens of the Buddha's teachings. He has a teaching called the Five Faculties, which Thanissaro Bhikkhu points out as being the five qualities that support the skill of meditation, the skill of learning how to be present with our experience. So these five qualities are confidence, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. So today I'd like to explore how these five qualities relate to a skillful relationship with fear. So why do I want to do this? Why do I want to explore it in this direction? Partly because I want to point out that when we are turning to attend to difficult states of mind, we are cultivating wholesome qualities. We are cultivating skillful means, cultivating qualities that support not only working with this difficult state, but with other states, other difficult states, and with the skill of simply being present in our experience. And it supports their cultivation for us to be aware of them, for us to be aware of confidence, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom as qualities that are coming up as we bring our attention to our experience of fear, as I'm going to talk about this morning. So these five faculties support each other in a couple of different ways, and one of the most common ways to talk about these five faculties is as a circle where confidence leads to energy, the energy to practice leads to the mindfulness, the mindfulness leads to concentration, and the concentration with the mindfulness together lead to wisdom. And that's the typical way that these qualities are talked about as supporting each other. And that's the framework I'm going to use as I talk about working with fear today. So while confidence is usually considered the first of the five faculties, we need to have some understanding of what we are confident in before we even begin. So I'm going to start this through an exploration of wisdom. There are three basic types of wisdom that are explored in the teachings of the Buddha. There's the wisdom of reading and listening, of learning, essentially, the wisdom that results from learning. This is called in the Pali, or actually it might be the, it is the Pali, Sutta Mayapanya. Sutta being the term that is used for each of the discourses. Sutta meaning hearing, heard. So there's the wisdom of reading and listening. Then there's the wisdom of actively reflecting on, thinking about what we have learned. So using our own capacity for reasoning, for reflection, to think about what we've learned. And there's a wisdom that results from this capacity to think and reflect. This in the Pali is called Chintamaya Panya. Then there's the wisdom of insight that results from the application of mindfulness and concentration in our experience, looking at our experience. Wisdom results in the direct understanding of something in our experience. This is called Bhavanamaya Panya in the Pali. So the first two types of wisdom, the wisdom of learning, the wisdom of reflection, are how the practice begins. The third kind of wisdom essentially results from the application of these first two kinds of wisdom with the other four of the five faculties. So the first two kinds of wisdom of learning, of reflection, applied with energy, mindfulness, concentration, and confidence, brings us to the practice, and then we begin to experience the wisdom, know the wisdom for ourselves, and that is the result. So we can't actually do the wisdom of insight. It happens as a result of our practice. So beginning our exploration of fear, it's helpful to learn something and reflect about fear and how the Buddhist teachings support an understanding of fear. So what do we need to understand about fear? First thing I'd like to explore is the quality of fear itself. And there's different levels of fear. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with different levels of fear, different intensities of fear in your life. So it's helpful to begin to recognize, this is something that it's helpful to know, that it's helpful to recognize there are distinctions in fear. I'll give you some words that maybe will help you to begin to tease these apart. Worry, anxiety, fear itself, dread, terror. I think of anxiety as being a kind of a diffuse feeling, maybe not particularly connected to a particular situation, but more of a state of being. Worry, I think of as being more of a mental thing, thoughts around a situation that we are projecting into the future. So while anxiety tends to be more a feeling, worry is often more about thinking. Then there's fear, which often has to do with the feeling of something is going to be annihilated. A part of the personality is going to be annihilated, or our lives are going to be annihilated, where there's some kind of fear of something going away. Something that we hold on to is going to go away. Dread, I think of as knowing that something's going to happen in the future, knowing absolutely something is going to happen, or at least thinking it's going to happen, having a good sense that this thing is going to happen in the future. And it has to do with the thoughts and the feelings around it. So it's kind of an intensification around a particular situation. It tends to be focused on a particular situation. And terror. I've not had a lot of experience with terror in my life. But I have a feeling about it. And the word evokes a feeling in me. And that, just beginning to recognize the difference between something like terror and something like a more normal kind of fear. So different levels of fear. Helpful to recognize different levels of fear. There are different kinds of fear, different ways that fear comes into being, I should say, rather than kinds. It's different ways that fear can come into being. There's a kind of a primal fear that happens when our lives are threatened. For those of you who've been in a car accident or a near car accident, you may have a sense of this kind of fear. Or if you have been in a situation where your life was imminently in danger, there is a kind of a fear that arises. This is a kind of fear that tends to make us very present. It brings us right into the moment, this kind of life-threatening fear. And I think there's something about the body and mind in a life-threatening situation that puts us in this situation. It almost slows down our experience, I think, so that we have a chance to think and respond to the situation and understand what we can and can't respond to in the situation. So this kind of fear is not so much what I'm talking about today. This is a very biological kind of fear that actually doesn't hinder awareness. In fact, it seems to support it. It creates it in that situation. Something about being in that life-threatening situation brings up this immediacy and presence of mind. There's also fear can be generated by thoughts. This is the typical way that worry is manifesting. So it's often about the future. We imagine a situation in the future, and we are afraid that it'll be unpleasant, or we're worried about how we'll respond to a situation. You know, we kind of want to think through all the different ways that that situation might play out and prepare ourselves mentally for every single one of those. How many of you have done that? This is a pretty common thing. And it's also not generally very helpful. How many of you have noticed that when you get to that situation, if it happens, you know, oftentimes it never even happens, and then all of that time you spent worrying was simply wasted energy. And have you noticed that when you get to that situation, that very rarely can you actually respond in the way that your mind created the scenario? Because there's so many other variables happening. And it's just in the moment that you respond in the moment. Presence in the moment to a situation is far more effective than projecting into the future and thinking about how you might respond when you get there. So it's helpful to understand that thoughts around the future situations are generally not so helpful. Now, I'm not saying to not plan. There are definitely situations we need to plan for. But beginning to recognize which aspects of the thinking we can begin to recognize which aspects of the thinking are helpful and which aspects are not helpful. So recognizing and understanding that there are skillful ways of thinking about a situation and unskillful ways of thinking about a situation, and beginning to be able to recognize the difference. So thoughts can generate fear. There's a classic story of a man who was painting a picture of a tiger, and he painted this picture with such detail that when he finished the picture, he stepped back and became frightened because he saw a tiger and ran away. This is what we do in our thoughts. We paint a picture of a scenario and become afraid of it. We also, the fear generated by thoughts can also be about thinking about something we've done in the past or haven't done in the past and projecting what the consequences of having done that or not done that into the future. Again, through thoughts, that thoughts are creating this worry. So for example, this is one where, again, it's helpful to be able to distinguish when the aspects of the thinking are skillful and when they're not skillful. So you might have left the house and wondered whether you'd forgotten to turn the stove off. And the mind can keep going, worrying about what will happen if the stove was left on. Now, the worry itself is not particularly useful. But if we tease apart what's skillful about it, it might be, you know, the actual just spinning around and spinning around about it is not so helpful. But if we pull aside on the road and call a friend who has a key to our apartment and say, "I think I left my stove on. Would you go check for me?" That's skillful. So one piece here I'm really wanting to point out and to tease apart is that there are skillful things that can be done when a situation around fear arises. So this practice of exploring fear doesn't necessarily simply mean, oh, just sit back and observe the fear. Sometimes there's something that needs to be done. So learning to tease apart what can help us and be skillful and what is not skillful. So the piece of wisdom here that I'm pointing to is that thoughts generate or can generate fear, worry, anxiety. That can be the source of the fear, the worry, the anxiety. It can also be generated by feelings and emotions. I'm essentially talking about the causal framework in which fear arises. So, for instance, a feeling of adrenaline comes up in the body before you have to do something, like give a presentation at work or give a speech. Public speaking, one of the greatest causes of fear in our culture. Apparently, people are more afraid of public speaking than just about anything. Often, I think this is because in the situation of public speaking, there is an adrenaline that comes up, just simply because you're going to be in front of people. That adrenaline feeling is very close to fear. And so often when we feel, I think when we feel that adrenaline feeling, it's slightly unpleasant. There's a kind, it's an energetic experience, a rising of energy in the body. And we impute to it that we are afraid. So the feeling can arise in the body, and we can interpret it as fear. That's one way that a feeling can generate fear. Another way that a feeling can generate fear is, I'll give an example of a child who's experienced some trauma, perhaps as a very young child, even, before they were really able to speak, that they learned, or that there was every time perhaps they were in a a non-functional family situation, and every time they felt a particular feeling, there was a negative consequence coming from a parent. So every time they felt happiness and began laughing and squealing and giggling, their parent yelled at them because they wanted them to be silent. So the feeling becomes associated with this kind of trauma. So that as an adult or as we grow up, that connection is hard to tease apart. And so the feeling comes up and it's associated with fear or dread. So again, understanding that feelings, emotions can be a part of this process of fear coming up in our experience. There is also a skillful fear, not just a skillful thoughts around fear, but a skillful fear itself. This is the fear of the consequences of behaving unskillfully. The term for this in Pali is otapa, and it is said to be a very wholesome emotion. That the fear of behaving unskillfully supports our navigating our world to avoid those behaviors. Essentially, seeing the danger of unskillful action. So this kind of fear is sometimes mixed with unskillful fear. So we need to learn, or we need to learn to tease them apart. For instance, the skillful fear can come up of needing to avoid a particular behavior, and then we jump on it and think, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this, and you know, or we start spinning around it and generating more fear that is not so skillful. A kind of a reactivity to this skillful fear can generate unskillful fear, worry, anxiety. So those are different aspects of fear itself. And now I'd like to explore some of the teachings, the wisdom teachings of the Buddhist tradition that connect to our understanding of fear. Fear brings a feeling of unease, a feeling that something's not right, something needs to be fixed or changed perhaps, a feeling perhaps of not being able to do something about a situation. So we suffer. There's suffering when fear arises. The teachings in tell us that it's helpful to get to know fear. Understand fear. The teaching of the First Noble Truth, understand suffering. So this truth, this teaching, points us to the fact that it's helpful to observe fear, the process of fear, rather than acting on it or repressing it. We tend, when a strong feeling of fear arises, to either want to repress it or do something. And the Buddha points to a middle way around unskillful fear, and that is observing. And I'm pointing to an additional piece of learning where and how to tease apart what skillful action is to take and what unskillful action is to take. But the first way that we begin to understand the distinction between those two is to observe the fear. Get to know the fear. Learning to be non-reactive to the fear supports this ability to understand it. It's also helpful to know that sometimes the fear can be so strong that it will overwhelm our ability to observe it. It will overwhelm our ability to be present for it. And in that case, it's helpful to know that it's not so helpful to try to pay attention to it. We need to learn skillful ways of distraction. And I'll talk more about those later. I'll talk more about ways to observe our fear later also. We frequently identify with fear. We feel somehow that it is I that am afraid. And there's a fear around I somehow disappearing, some part of the personality, some part of a view of how we are being proven incorrect to us. There's a lot of identification around fear. And it's really helpful to understand, to at least begin to learn and to reflect about the fact that fear results from causes and conditions. It's not personal. It's not who I am. It's transient. It's impermanent. It results from causes and conditions, some of which I mentioned earlier. It can result from thoughts arising in the mind about the future. It can result from feelings arising in the body. So these are some of the ways that it's helpful to understand and reflect about fear. So recognizing that this aspect of learning and reflecting on things is a part of the process of cultivating wisdom. As we hear about the possibility of understanding fear, and hear that there is a possibility that through that understanding, we can gain some perspective and be not quite so caught by our fear, that essentially there'll be some release around the suffering of fear. Hearing and understanding that teaching can lead to some confidence, the first of the five faculties, can inspire confidence in the teachings, can inspire confidence that there's a possibility to actually observe our fear, that that's possible. Possible to observe our fear and not be quite so reactive to it. A confidence in our capacity to do that, to actually engage in that observation. We may, having seen someone else or hear a story about how someone else did this, have a sense that it's possible for a human being to do this, but then have a feeling of like, well, but I can't do that. So a connecting to a sense of our own capacity to engage in this practice is very important and very helpful. The other aspect of confidence that's helpful is the beginning to be confident in the benefit of this practice. So the possibility of observing fear as opposed to being reactive to it, and our own capacity, confidence in our own capacity to do this. Sometimes that confidence in our own capacity can be a little elusive. And the way, in my own experience, one of the ways I've worked with that is, because partly there's a sense of, there can be a sense of distrust or not believing that it will do any good to do this observation? It's like kind of like a little counterintuitive to turn attention to fear itself. Won't that just make me more afraid? So part of confidence in our own capacity is the willingness to just give it a try. The willingness to run the experiment. I sometimes think of the Buddha's teachings as running an elaborate scientific experiment on my own mind. Bringing in the teachings and applying them and looking at, well, what are the results? When this happens, when I add these qualities of mindfulness, investigation, observation, what's the result in my experience? So a willingness to run the experiment and check out the results is a way that confidence can manifest. We don't actually have to believe that it will produce a result yet, or we don't have to know that it will produce a beneficial result yet. We can just be willing to engage, just willing to try it and see. If you run that experiment, it may be a little bumpy at times, but I'm fairly confident, extremely confident, that if you try this experiment, you will begin to feel the benefits. You will begin to notice in your practice how this benefits you around observing fear. So as we start to taste the benefits, we gain even more confidence and are more willing to continue applying the teachings. So the confidence leads to more confidence. So it builds upon itself. So learn to recognize that feeling of confidence. It might manifest as a feeling of, I'm willing to try this, or I think I can do this, or I know I can do this. So recognizing that feeling is actually supportive. To recognize when we are engaging in our practice, when we feel confident, when we feel even just willingness, that willingness, that feeling, or that recognition is supportive of the further development of confidence. So this confidence in our capacity to work with fear brings the energy to actually do it. This is the faculty of energy, the energy directed towards the practice. This can be a gentle persistence, a continuing to persist in the observation of fear. So this gentle persistence results itself in more energy. Making effort creates energy. So getting interested in understanding fear is another way that supports this energy. Confidence supports energy. If there's a confidence in what we are planning to do, there's usually an energy that's directed towards doing it. If we're interested in understanding fear, there's a kind of a natural energy that moves towards the understanding. So the energy of our practice, this third faculty, this energy is directed towards mindfulness. Energy is the second. This energy is directed towards mindfulness, the third faculty. So this mindfulness is the quality of being aware in the present moment, of remembering awareness. So we investigate the fear with mindfulness. There's many, many different ways to investigate fear. The basic instruction is to turn the attention away from what we are fearful of in the environment and turn it towards the feeling of fear itself. Very helpful to explore it in the body. Particularly helpful to explore it in the body. Where do we feel the feeling of fear in the body? Fear almost always has some physical manifestation. Contraction in the throat, fluttering in the stomach, a kind of a feeling of instability in the inner system here, in the torso. Come into the body and feel the actual sensations. This supports a letting go of the thoughts that might be triggering, generating the fear. So turning away from those thoughts, if the thoughts are what the fear is arising around, turn attention away from the thoughts to the feeling supports the feeling to simply live its life. When we are caught in the thoughts around fear, it's as if we've got the gas pedal on with the fear. We keep feeding it with the thoughts. If we can let go of the thoughts and just feel the feelings in the body, we are no longer feeding the fear in that way. And the fear has a chance to live its life, which tends to be a feeling of a wave-like quality to many of the emotions, these strong emotions, that it kind of intensifies and then moves out. If we can just let go of the thinking process around it, the fear has a chance to wind itself out. With a bit more distance from the fear, we can be a little more rational around the thoughts that are arising and begin to tease apart which ones are skillful and which ones are not skillful. Which ones are actually, oh, that would actually be a good thing to do. I should call somebody and tell them to check my stove. Versus the just, oh, envisioning the complex burning down. So it's helpful to recognize triggering patterns of thought. There might be particular types of thought that trigger emotion, that trigger this fear. When we see the triggers, when we see thoughts that trigger emotions, we can see that this is just an impersonal phenomenon. We begin to see the arising of this whole pattern of fear as impersonal. Likewise, when the fear is related to an emotion, it's helpful to, when the fear is coming up because it's caused by an emotion, helpful to turn the attention to the emotion itself. Attending to that emotion itself attending to the source of the fear, often the fear diminishes because the thing that's generating the fear is being attended to. Again, exploring that in the body. One big thing that we are afraid of is fear of the unknown, fear of what we don't know. Noticing in this kind of situation how the mind leaps forward to try to fill the unknown. One thing that is helpful to recognize is that any time we move into a moment, everything is known. Things are known in the moment. Well, we don't know what the next moment will bring, but what we are often afraid of is that we won't be able to, that something will not be able to be there in that moment, that there'll be some kind of a dissolution or a disappearance when we meet something, that there's kind of that fear of stepping into the unknown that will somehow disappear. So noticing that whenever you meet anything, the mind has the capacity to meet it. One of the biggest suggestions I encourage people to work with around fear is noticing when you're caught by it and noticing when you're not caught by it. So sometimes fear comes up and you're just able to be with it. At other times, fear has us in its grip. Noticing the distinction between those two. If you're caught by it, if there's resistance to it, you need to turn the attention to the resistance. It's really important not to jump over resistance to fear and just try to be with the fear. If there's resistance to it, there's something happening that's building that resistance, and that resistance needs to be attended to. Really, really important. Another thing I suggest for people is that, particularly around patterns where there's a strong habitual pattern, particularly around worry or anxiety. If you live your life and feel like you are a worried person or are an anxious person or are a fearful person, recognize when that feeling is not there. Notice when it's not there. That recognizing, because it's not always there. It's not always there. Recognizing when it's not there begins to punch holes in the identity that it is me, that it is mine, that that's who I am. So I need to wrap it up here. So I'll just say a few more words about the last quality, concentration. As we bring energy and mindfulness together, we start to get more continuous in observing our fear. The continuity of mindfulness is what gives the power to mindfulness. That continuity of mindfulness as we observe fear, the ability to be with the fear as it's unfolding, that continuity itself is the concentration. That concentration or that continuity of mindfulness towards the fear is what allows us to really begin to penetrate the fear itself, understanding the fear very deeply. So the continuity of mindfulness, the concentration, is what gives mindfulness its power to deeply see into experience, understand that fear is simply a product of causes and conditions, understand that it's not me, that it's not mine, that it's not who I am. So that concentration with the mindfulness is what leads to that third kind of wisdom, the bhavanamayapanya, the wisdom of insight. We begin to see a shift of perspective around observing fear. We're no longer quite so caught by it. We can see it and just allow it to be there. We see less reactivity. Or we may even see it in the turning towards it, that it simply vanishes. These are manifestations of this third kind of wisdom. And as we experience that third kind of wisdom, it brings more confidence, which leads to more energy and mindfulness. That energy and mindfulness leads to a continuity of mindfulness, which leads to concentration, which leads to more wisdom. So all of these qualities run in a circle. And in this working with fear, all of these qualities are being cultivated. Recognizing that this process, this skillful process, is unfolding while we're observing fear is very, very helpful in our practice. Fear isn't something simply to just be worked at to get rid of. It actually, the process of working with fear actually supports the qualities that lead ultimately to freedom, not only from the fear, but from all kinds of suffering. So, thank you for your attention.